Education Minister Richard Bruton is proposing to scrap the right of religious schools to refuse admission to children with a different religion or none, or the baptism rule as it's often called. This will mean amending the Equal Status Act, which allows such discrimination, with one significant exception, and that is in the case of minority faiths, who will be continued to allow to discriminate in order to protect, the minister said, to protect their ethos in cases where they are oversubscribed. And Richard Bruton, the minister, joins us now on the line. Minister, good morning.
Morning, Carl.
Do you mind if we listen, just before we get into your views of what you're going to do, to the most significant criticism overnight of it from the Catholic Church? This is Ferdia Kelly. We spoke to him earlier. Our reporter, Ashton Kenny, asked him. He's the chief executive of the Catholic Schools Partnership. And he told Ashton that plans will not solve the problem of access to oversubscribed schools, as no additional places are being provided, he says.
It's one of disappointment that parents of one faith tradition will be treated differently than parents of other faith traditions. Secondly, I think the listeners would need to realise that this particular measure will not increase the number of places available in schools in areas of oversubscription. There are currently 90 places available in a school. Minister Bruton's measure will still leave 90 places. What we have been saying is, if in the relatively small number of areas of oversubscription, if the minister wants to solve the problem once and for all, extra school places need to be provided, extra school rooms need to be built. The other issue that we have a concern about is the constitutionality of the particular issue, and that's something that we'll all have to reflect on.
Minister, the Constitution arises in this because, as you know, Article 44.2 talks about state aid for schools not discriminating between schools under the management of different religious denominations. Now, what you're proposing to do this, we haven't actually got the measure yet, but would you just tell us why, in your view, despite what Ferdia Kelly says, in your view, A, it's fair, and B, it's constitutional?
Well, I suppose just to go back to what the problem is, I mean, in every community we have non-denominational children, we have children of minority churches like Church of Ireland, and we've Catholic children. Now, from the census we know that around 20% of parents of primary school children are of no religion, and that group is growing rapidly, but fewer than 1 in 20 schools are non-denominational or multi-denominational. And the problem we have is that it's very unfair for those children that they can be passed over for entry to their local school by a child taken from way outside of their community. And it's very unfair also that they feel pressurised to baptise their child simply to get access to the school. So what my proposal does, if it's accepted, is that religion will not be a factor in admission to 95% of schools. And I think it's important to remember, Cathal, that for most schools in the country, their practice is not to use religion as a test for entry. And they're inclusive and try to include every child that comes to that school, regardless of their religion. So I believe what I'm trying to do is balance the rights of these different community, different parents and their children within a community. It's true to say there will always be oversubscribed schools, but there's no shortage of places. But there are schools that, you know, are particularly popular. And the reason we have to treat, you know, non-denominational, as I say, they don't have the schools. For minority children like Church of Ireland children, because they're a very small part of the population, their schools would simply be overrun if you didn't allow them some special terms, because they're very small and they would find that they were admitting children, they would have very few children of their ethos, and they simply would then cease to exist as a distinct class of school. On the other hand, for Catholic children, you know, 90% of the schools are Catholic. Those parents do have a choice of access to a Catholic school, and we're ensuring that the ethos of those schools will be protected.
And when you hear the word unfair, Ferdia Kelly, the way he put it was, one faith is being treated differently to others, and he raised the question of constitutionality. You've no doubts about the fairness or constitutionality of this?
No, as I say, what I'm trying to do is balance the interests of different families within a community. And there's a local school, and you're trying to make sure that you're fair to those different communities. As I say, if it's a minority church, and like at the Church of Ireland, and they have very few schools, If they had a rule that they admitted everyone in their local area, they would very quickly cease to be Church of Ireland schools. That's not true in the case of a Catholic school, because 90% of the schools are Catholic and the vast majority of the population is Catholic. So you're trying to address this in a way that gives fair access for the children of parents who have no religion to get a fair chance of access to their school without unfairly or unreasonably trenching on the rights of parents of different religions who want to get access to a school of their ethos.
All right, so not unfair.
No, I don't believe this is unfair. I believe that this is a balanced way of dealing with this.
All right.
It deals with the problem, but deals with it in a proportionate way. And that's really what our constitution is all about, is being proportionate and fair.
Now, this is about amending the Equal Status Act to change the provision as you proposed yesterday at the Education Committee. When are you going to do it?
Well, as you know, when I came into office a year ago, there were no proposals developed in this area whatsoever. And I immediately introduced a consultation, and we have moved forward now. And I'm very keen to move ahead with this. But obviously, I have to make sure that any proposal that I presented at all is constitutionally sound, robust legally. So I will have to work with the Attorney General to develop up proposals that I can present to the Dáil. And, you know, there is clearly all parties in the Dáil want change in this area. We've had consultation, and now I'm trying to introduce what I think is the fairest accommodation to children without unfairly interfering with the rights of other children.
So when?
Well, obviously in autumn we will hope to introduce this, but the this was not part of the bill that was introduced and being debated yesterday, and that was very clear, and the Dáil made a decision that this would be dealt with in a separate track, and I am dealing with that, and I have dealt with this from a standing position where in the department there were no proposals developed on this matter whatsoever.
So are you saying, Minister, that we will in the autumn see proposals in the shape of legislation from you going to the Dáil?
That is my intention.
And in terms of the people affected, the parents affected by this and their children, when will any of this make a difference?
Well, obviously, this will have to, you know, be passed into law and then be introduced into the admission policy. You know, every year a school applies admission policies to decide who gets preference. In the case of, you know, most schools, religion never comes into it because every child is accepted. It is only in the case of oversubscribed schools that this is a problem. And the issue here isn't a lack of places. We have a system that looks at every area in the country and makes sure that every area has adequate places for the children living in that community. However, you'll always have oversubscribed schools, the ones that are particularly popular. And what we're trying to do is to make sure that the rules for admission to those schools are ones that are fair to the mix of people in the community. You can't have rules being brought into place that disregard the fact that, you know, in many communities, a very significant proportion of children are now of no denomination. So you have to be fair to them, as fair as possible, while at the same time not undermining the ethos of, you know, the schools that we do have, and that's very important to us.
So what do you say to those parents who have a problem, certainly in the Dublin area and probably in other areas as well, because they can't find a school remotely convenient? I'm talking about within 30 minutes drive or travel or whatever, and who have a real problem finding a place and the effect of that on family life. What can you say to them?
Well, of course, we're continually building schools. I mean, in the last 6 years, we've opened 30 new schools, and most of those are in Dublin. And we are responding to these population changes. And in every school, we make sure that, or in every area, and there's 314 areas across the country, we make sure there's adequate provision for the children in that area each year. Now, unfortunately, at times, that requires prefabs to be provided. But that is an issue we deal with in a planned way. This year we'll have 15,000 extra places in our schools.
15,000, is that primary school places?
It's 20,000 in total, and roughly 15,000 will be perhaps a little less primary school, maybe 20,000 total, around 12,000 maybe is the balance, 8,000 post-primary.
Sorry, 12,000 primary?
Primary, and roughly 8,000.
That's new. Is that new from September?
They are new places that we provide each year.
Is that more, are we talking about things that are about to come or have already come?
No, every year we're providing those.
Yeah. So yeah, but I mean, in next September, what I'm asking is how many new schools will be opening? How many more places will there be in September, primary or secondary, than there are now?
We will be opening roughly 12,000, as I say, more places. Now, some of those would be replacing, you know, properties that are you know, replacing prefabs that were already in place, or properties that are no longer fit for use. But the vast majority are new schools. And as I say, about five primary schools each year are freshly, you know, fresh greenfield sites. And most of those would be in Dublin. And most of those obviously would, because we have followed parental choice, most of those are either multi-denominational or non-denominational, because we have, you know, adequate numbers of schools that are denominational. But this is an issue of making sure that within a community where there is an oversubscribed school, that rules are fair to different groups within that community. That whether you're a child of a parent that has no religion, or a child of a religious child, that you have a reasonable chance of access to your local school, and you don't feel pressurised to baptise your child just to get in. But at the same time, we protect the ethos of the schools and make sure that in particular minority religions like Church of Ireland don't become overrun and effectively cease to be distinctive schools.
Minister, before you go, the issue which will be concerning a lot of people, what their bin charges are going to be like from Saturday, because the new regime announced by your colleague Dennis Nocton comes into force from the 1st of July. Now, we know that next week the Dáil will be looking at motions from Fianna Fáil, proposing a regulator, from Sinn Féin, I think, proposing measures to deal with poor people, proposing a waiver for poor people. Is the government open to tweaking the new regime along those lines, or something like them?
Well, of course, I think just to go to first principles, what this scheme is about is to giving households the opportunity and the incentive to reuse, recycle, segregate their waste, and do that in a way.
We've had all those points explained to us by your colleague yesterday. The key thing is the government open to change along the lines suggested by Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin, or something like it?
Well, I'll have to be totally honest and say I haven't seen the Fianna Fáil or the Sinn Féin motion. That they will obviously be considered by
the principle when they come
forward.
Having a waiver for people who will find it difficult to pay because they're poor, are regulating the industry because it is unregulated. And as Dennis Nocton said yesterday, the bin charge collection companies can charge whatever they like. I mean, are you open to that principle, of either of those principles, of looking at them?
Well, I think it's very clear this isn't an area where we will engage in price control, but I think we will have measures of monitoring to make sure there's no price gouging, and which is the real problem, because there is competition in this market. And on the issue of, you know, waivers, this is a service run now by the private sector. There was a time when it was run by the public sector, and, you know, the public sector had different rules. Here we now have a private sector service, largely because councillors refused to have reasonable charges that could make the system
viable. So is a waiver out of the question or not?
Well, the waiver would require, you know, some department like the Department of Social Protection providing subsidies to individual families based on the cost of bins. Now, that's not a reasonable approach to social protection, I think. Social protection just helps to try and deal with families looking at their whole situation, not one particular service. But there is one area where the government has recognised a need, and that is where there's medically needed, where there's high waste for medical reasons, where people have disposable products, and there is a subsidy being provided for those.
We've heard about that yesterday. All right, Richard Bruton, thank you very much for talking to us.